Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is the Rhema Ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is August the 9th, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroad.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. Also, you may subscribe to our YouTube channel. We hope that you have done so, but if you have not, we would love for you to take advantage of this. You only need to subscribe one time. If you are in our area, we would love for you to come and visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m., and we meet again on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. We assemble on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and we'll have more to say about our summer series that we are going through right now in a few moments. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a Bible question, we would encourage you to reach out to us. If you have any question about that which is taught on our program, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority, but then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2 in the Old Testament and Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 in the New Testament, teaching us that we are not to tamper with the Word of God. We're not to add to it. We are not to subtract from it. We are just to obey it in its entirety. Specifically, we are to obey the new covenant because that is what man is held accountable to today. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? I mentioned a few moments ago about our summer series, We have a few more weeks to study the book of Hebrews. We are rapidly moving through this study. Be encouraged. Studies in the book of Hebrews. This week, we're in Hebrews chapter 11 with Tim Hetfield of Grove City, Ohio. Please come and be with us for Hebrews chapter 11 with Tim Hetfield, Grove City, Ohio, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We are rapidly approaching our youth rally with Gail Nelson from Miami, Florida, August the 22nd and the 23rd. We'd love for your young people to come and to be with us and enjoy periods of study of God's Word and fellowship, various breakout sessions. If you want more information, just reach out to our office, and we'll be happy to share information with you about the youth rally. And Gail is going to spend a few more days with us after the youth rally is over and study with us on Sunday afternoon at 5 and Monday and Tuesday, the 24th and 25th at 7 p.m. And so everyone is invited to come out for those services as Gail will study God's Word with us. We have been addressing a subject of the last several weeks dealing with morality and what happens when there is a moral collapse in the community or in the world in which the people of God are found. What happens when there is a moral collapse in the world in which the people of God are found? And we've observed by looking at several case studies in the Bible, and we've observed some things and some consistency in the behavior of the people of God in various dispensations. And as we've observed, we learned that, of course, the things that were written under aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And so God's people are faced in at different points in time in history with moral collapses. And if the Lord does not return soon, this generation is going to continue to face the moral collapse that it sees. But until the Lord returns, we have some responsibilities, and His Word provides us with all that we need. The Bible lets us know that God's Word is able to provide us with that which will direct us to life. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is complete in restoring the soul. And so God's Word gives us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. In this concluding lesson on this subject, we will move toward the New Testament, and we would observe, as we look at the Roman Empire, that fourth great nation that Daniel prophesied about, and that's the time in which God would do something during that period of time. And for we observe that the Bible would teach us that God established the church of our Lord, the church of Christ, at the proper time in human history. God did not make any mistake when He established the church. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. There the Bible reads, records for us, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so God, by inspiration, says that when he established the church, when he sent his son into the world, it was not too early, nor was it too late. When everything in human history was ready, then the Lord sent Jesus and he established his church. He did this on his timetable, not on man's. When the things of the world had come into its proper place, then God had sent his son so that man might have the right to eternal life. Sin, in one sense, you think about this, when the Roman Empire was in moral decline, in moral decay, there were definite indications of a moral collapse of society all around it. Again, we think about Galatians 4. I read verse 4, but let's look at verse 5 as well. Why? Look at those two passages together. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so in one sense, think about the fact that sin had run its course in the Roman Empire, and people wanted something better. You know, if you were to consider the following social conditions of the Roman Empire, and friends, there are many secular sources that are not friendly to Christianity, but nonetheless tell the historical truth, such as The History of Civilization, a multi-volume set by Will and Ariel Durant. And these folk are no friends of biblical Christianity, but they are good historians. And they describe for us the social conditions of the Roman Empire as being scandalous. You know, think about some of these things that they report. The social conditions were such that there was rampant sexual immorality. There was a disregard for life. There was the debasement of women, frequent divorce and suicide. You know, if you were to read these things, you would think these were the headlines of newspapers in 2026. Luke records, as Peter preached on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead in Acts chapter 2, in telling the listeners what they needed to do to become Christians, having pointed out to them that they needed to obey the gospel, to repent and to be baptized, every one of them. And as he continued on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, the text says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Another translation says, "this crooked generation." And so what he was emphasizing, that there was a moral collapse, even in the first century. So the question, of course, that one wants to ask and one is looking for an answer is, how did the church, how did God's people survive that moral collapse? Dayton, are you listening? Well, number one, I would suggest that they were able to survive that moral collapse because they first understood that they needed to take personal and individual responsibility. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, Luke says, save yourselves. It's an individual matter. Each individual needed to trust God. Each individual needed to be obedient to that which God had instructed them to do. And so you have to take individual or personal responsibility. Second, they needed to receive the word of God. In Acts 2, verse 41, he continues that, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And so, not only did they take personal responsibility, but they understood that they needed to receive the word of God and then be baptized. And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. You know, it's important for the individual to take responsibility to obey the gospel and be added by the Lord to the church. How do we brace ourselves for the oncoming persecution, for this oncoming moral collapse? We take personal responsibility, save yourselves. We have to receive God's word, and if one has never been baptized into Christ, must be baptized into Christ and try to lead their family into Christ. Third, once one has put on Christ by being baptized into his body, we must continue in the fellowship, in the worship, in the prayers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, then, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. One has to remain faithful after their initial obedience. Stay faithful to the Lord in spite of what is going on around us, in spite of the immorality, in spite of the worldliness, in spite of the ungodliness, in spite of all of these things, we must remain faithful to God and his word. Fourth, we must learn to practice daily personal religion. You know, it's one thing that we assemble upon every first day of the week, but that's just one day of the week. We must practice our religion on a daily basis. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And so we have to make sure that this is not a one day a week thing, but it is a day-to-day responsibility that we do. And we continue, and as we read, as Luke records, we also will share with one another, share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we must each engage in the work of sowing the seed of the kingdom. We each who are in Christ must be dedicated to evangelism. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, the only way the Lord is going to be able to add to the church daily those who are being saved is by the church sowing the seed and watering the seed so that God can give the increase. Dayton, are you listening? You know, as I said, this generation learning from the first century generation as they braced for their moral collapse. They brace themselves for oncoming persecution, and we have to brace ourselves for impending persecution. The church was fiercely persecuted during its first 300 years, its first three centuries. Beginning in Acts chapter 4, we trace this history and we trace these persecutions. Jesus had already taught his followers to learn to count the costs. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. He predicted that this persecution was going to come and we needed to be ready for it. This is what the Lord is saying in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful, even if being faithful produces your death, and you shall gain a crown of life that does not fade away. So faithfulness to God in the face of persecution is an imperative. Historically, having freedom to evangelize, having freedom to worship, having freedom so that we can live in earthly peace is really the exception rather than the rule. Few generations have had it as easy as the Christians in America the last quarter century. God never promised an easy path to us. We must not expect that it's going to be easy. We must brace ourselves for persecution. How can you study the Sermon on the Mount, and especially as you read the Beatitudes, and not be aware of what Jesus is warning? The Beatitudes, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, are telling us here's what kingdom life is going to be like. And Jesus makes it clear in Matthew chapter 5, he says, starting at verse 10, blessed are those who, having been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then, of course, Jesus in the 16th chapter of Matthew points out that it's going to be necessary for us to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses. And he makes this observation very clear. And sometimes we forget about it or don't want to believe it. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so we have to understand that in face of this moral collapse, we must brace ourselves for persecution. We have to prepare not only ourselves to be persecuted and to remain faithful in the midst of this, but we need to prepare our families to be faithful under these periods of distress and duress. It's one thing for us for the individual to remain faithful, but have you taught your family that these things are going to occur, and we have to be faithful in the face of these persecutions? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Teach our families that Christians fear God more than death itself. Jesus said, don't fear him who can destroy just the body, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hellfire, Matthew 10:28. Death, even a horrible one, is preferred to rather than denying Jesus, according to Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. We don't want to deny the Lord. We would be willing to rather die a physical death rather than to deny Jesus, because it would cause us to then face shame at judgment. I'd encourage you sometime to look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2. It would, one could lose their soul and be lost eternally. According to Luke 16, 19 to 31. Fearing God makes other fears obsolete. Psalm 34, verse 9. Dayton, are you listening? You know, we need to keep this in mind. Our Heavenly Father knows the plans of our adversary, the devil. God watches him prepare his potions and weighs the ingredients and hide the poison in a sweet temptation. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, James 1, 13 to 15. God can frustrate his plans. God knows the godly, 2 Timothy 2, 19. He knows the ungodly, Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. God knows that the ungodly tempt the godly. He knows how to deliver the godly from the ungodly. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. God provides the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Friends, as we summarize this, understand that God will not destroy eternally the righteous with the wicked. 2 Peter 2, 6 through 10. He preserves his people while judging the wicked. The Lord rescued Lot for Abraham's sake, Genesis 19, 29. He will deliver the church for the sake of his Lord, or our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, God is concerned what you think. Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter what you do. God has a plan of redemption. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son. Repent of your sins. Make the good confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then surrender to water immersion so that you might be saved. If we can assist you, please reach out to us.